We now present the Bible for Today at the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergant Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 789. 789 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergant Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James, James Bible, now in its eighth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? These words in the King James, uncommon words, are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point, actually large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yours today for yourself and your friends? The Defined King James Bible. And then we're still offering this free and post-paid book, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's a $12 value. It's 108 pages total. And it's yours for the asking. Simply call us. This takes a refutation of one Bible only. It's what we've been talking about in the broadcast. You ought to get it and read it for yourself and study it out so that you can see it. Just simply ask for Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. All right, we're ready to go for Fuzzy Fact number 177 out of 265. Robert Milliman is the author here of this particular one in the One Bible Only book. He says this, quote, take for example Ephesians 2, 14-15a. A strictly literal approach to word order would result in the following translation, quote, he for is the peace of us, the one having made the both one, and the dividing wall of the fence having destroyed the enmity in the flesh of him, the law of the commandments in decrees having nullified. End of quote, page 139. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I don't believe in using this stilted, literal, exact word order translation used in interlinears, nor did our King James Bible translators. Word order is not the essence of accuracy in translation. He's trying to make fun of literal translations, such as the King James Bible. But our King James Bible is not word order literal. It's translational literal. It's literary as well as literal. The essence is to translate every word that is there in the form that is there wherever possible. You may need to change the word order. Don't subtract from the words. Don't add to the words. Don't change the words in some other way. So he's making a snide remark, and he's making fun, poking fun at what he calls literal translation, so that nobody will want anything to do with literal translation. But that is absolutely a false concept. Literal word order is not literal translation. Literal word order is simply something that you put in an interlinear Greek New Testament. And we have these, but that's not translation, because the Greek order is different from the English order. But one thing about literal translation is this. It translates from the language of Hebrew to English, Greek to English, or any other language. That's what literal is. It's verbal equivalence, the word equivalence, Hebrew to English, Greek to English, and so on. And it's form or formal equivalence. Form meaning the forms of the words are important. When God gives us words that are nouns in the Hebrew or Greek, the literal translation brings those words over as nouns wherever possible. If they're verbs, brings them over as verbs, and so on. It doesn't change the form of the words. Now, that's what literal translation is, and Robert Milliman is trying to make a big joke out of literal translation, such as we have in a King James Bible. It's a terrible, terrible travesty on truth to have this passing for a literal approach, strictly literal approach, and so on. Well, fuzzy fact number 178 out of 265, Robert Milliman again wrote this in this one Bible only, quote, "Obviously, then, some liberties must be taken, even in a word-for-word type of translation. Even so, with the literal translations, a deliberate attempt is made to maintain the original word order as much as is possible in the receptor language." End of quote. Page 140, one Bible only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, that's false. That is false. We are to translate every word accurately, but we do not have to keep it in the same word order. This is the false statement of the so-called literal word-for-word type of translation. Our King James Bible is a literal word-for-word translation, but that does not mean word order. It does not mean that at all. We do not have to keep that same word order, as I've said before. Milliman is trying to put down the so-called literal translation. In so doing, he distorts the picture. He's attacking the King James Bible, which he considers to be one of the translations to fit into the distorted literal category. And to do so, he's got to say that which is false concerning literal translations. Literal, again, I repeat, does not mean word order. Literal means the words in Hebrew, the words in Greek are translated into the language that you're using, whether it's English or Spanish or French or whatever. That's what literal means. And it's also literary. Our King James Bible is both literal and literary, but not word-for-word order. The order, again, I repeat, is not the essence of a literal translation. Well, fuzzy fact number 179 out of 265. Again, Robert Milliman wrote this, quote, "This translator would likewise feel free to use verbal nouns in place of nominal verbs, and vice versa. For example, quote, I possess faith, that's a noun, in God, may be rendered, quote, I believe, verb, in God." Page 140 of one Bible only. Now, the translator would be free to do this. That's the very essence of what the King James Bible translators did not do. They did not change nominal verbs to verbal nouns. They did not do that. When the scripture says, I possess faith in God, that's exactly what they translated. When it says, I believe in God, that's what they translated. They did not switch those. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? That's dynamic equivalency. That's inaccuracy. That's believing and being unfaithful to the forms of the words. That's what our King James Bible translators did not do. Dynamic equivalence is wrong. We've always said this on the broadcast many, many times. It's wrong for three reasons. Number one, dynamic equivalency adds to God's words. The NIV did that. The NASV did that. The New King James did that. Number two, it subtracts from God's words. Just wipes them out. And number three, it changes God's words in some other ways. Now, we should translate a Hebrew or Greek noun by an English noun, wherever possible. Changing a noun to a verb is not translation. It's paraphrase and commentary. And when Robert Milliman said this translator would likewise feel free to use verbal nouns, wait a minute. He's not a translator if he changes verbal nouns to nominal verbs. When you change a noun to a verb, you're not translating. You are altering. You are paraphrasing. You are making a commentary on the very words of the living God. for shame to do that, twisting and rending God's precious words in Hebrew and in Greek, Old and New Testament, and just absolutely mangling the scriptures. And God condemns all such. Well, Fuzzy Fact number 180 out of 265. Robert Milliman again, he wrote this, quote, "The problem is that all translations are, by the nature of the case, interpretive. The more a translator departs from the literal method, the more interpretive he or she gets in the attempt to reproduce the meaning of the original text." End of quote. Page 141, One Bible Only. Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 180? Well, that's the trouble with dynamic equivalency. Interpretive. It's too interpretive. The result is an interpretation rather than a translation. Now, I disagree with him when he says all translations are, by the nature of the case, interpretive. No, my friend, interpretation is something other than translation. Interpretation is different than translation. The Latin word translatus is the word that we get translation from. It comes from two Latin words, trans, which means across, and latus, which is the past participle, the verb ferro. Ferro means to carry. Translatus, or translation, from which we get this word translation, means to carry across from one language into another. It shouldn't add things as it's going across, and it shouldn't subtract things. It shouldn't change things in some other way. To have an interpretation rather than a translation, to me, is horrendous. Interpretations belong in a commentary, not in a translation. Remember that. And we've got to be accurate. I remember, as we're making this broadcast and the tape of the broadcast, I remember the fight in the United Nations Security Council. Now, I'm not for the United Nations. I'm not for the Security Council. I'm opposed to all of that. But I noted that they debated in the Security Council to get all 15 members to agree on this resolution in regard to Iraq. And one little change of one little word made the difference. They changed an and to an or an or to an and. Now that, my friends, is a translation that is literal. They're using translation from Russian and all the other languages that are on that, the Security Council, French, and so on, and Chinese. They're making sure that those words are literal in that resolution and that every language has the exact term. And when they change it from an and to an or, this is verbal equivalence. It illustrates it very clearly. And it's not interpretive. Well, Fuzzy Fact number 181 out of 265. Robert Milliman again wrote, "Who decides these issues? It may be argued that although a literal translation might not be understandable, at least the reader, not a translator, gets to make the interpretive decision. However, that argument begs the question, will average readers take the necessary steps to make an intelligent decision in these matters when reading a literal word-for-word translation?" End of quote. Page 142, One Bible Only, of Central Baptist Seminary, that book. Well, what's my answer to this? Well, that's what the reader should do. I don't agree that a literal translation might not be understandable. You see, he's got in his mind, he's got in his definition of terms, a literal word-for-word translation means the word order. When reading a literal word-for-word translation, he's talking about word order, which is a crackpot definition of literal translation. It's not word-for-word order. That's not what the Hebrew text to the English is. That's not what the Greek text to the English is. Absolutely not. He's barking up the wrong tree, as we say. For instance, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, the order of the Greek language, we said it before in the broadcast, "In the beginning was the Word" is the same order, "En arche, en hologos," "in the beginning was the Word," and "the Word was made flesh," and the Word was with God. Kaya Theos and plus Tantiana was with God. But the next phrase in John 1:1, and the Word was God, in English, we put the Word first as the subject, not so with the Greek. We put the nominative adjective or noun after, we put it before, they put it after, and the Greek says not, and the Word was God, but they say, Kai Theos en Hologos, and God was the Word. God was the Word. And the word God is Theos is put first because of the emphasis of the Greek language. When anything comes first in a sentence, that's the emphatic part. And the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is what's being emphasized here. And so word order is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, when it makes good sense in English, then we would have it. The English didn't say, and God was the Word. But they said in the translation of the King James Bible, and the Word was God. That's exactly what we would say, and that's not word order, but it is literal. Every word in the Greek text has been translated. Theos is God. Ein is with. Hologos is the Word. And the Word was God. And so this man, Robert Milliman, is trying to make a farce, trying to make absolutely nonsense out of this situation, and calls literal translation necessarily word for word, and he means the word order. Well, as far as interpretation, that's what the reader should do. It's the reader that should make any interpretive decisions, not the one that's paraphrasing it. Dr. Francis Steele, in an excellent booklet, Translation or Paraphrase, wrote this, quote, "We want to know what God said, not what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said," end of quote. Now, that's an important distinction. We do not want interpretation. We want translation. We want what that word is in the English or whatever language you're translating into. Just let the reader interpret what God means from what God says. Just give us what God said in English, in Spanish, in French, in Russian, in Japanese, Italian, Chinese, Korean, and all the languages of the world. Give us what God said. Don't interpret it for us. The interpretations of the NIV sometimes are wrong. The interpretations of the New American Standard sometimes are wrong. The interpretations of the New King James are sometimes wrong. This is a serious fault as far as that is concerned. We want to know what God said, not what Dr. So-and-so or what translation or what paraphrase thinks God meant by what he said. That's up to the Holy Spirit of God to help us as we read the words in our language. Well, fuzzy fact number 182 out of 265, Robert Milliman wrote this, quote, "Does the average reader know with good understanding the meaning and significance of the following theological terms? Propitiation, redemption, atonement, reconciliation, justification," end of quote. What he's getting at here is knocking and smashing the King James Bible's words. The New International Version, for instance, removes completely propitiation. It's not there. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? He wants to change these terms by dynamic equivalency. Now, that's what the Contemporary English Version, the CEV, has done. That's what the American Bible Society has produced several years back. That particular version has removed these theological terms and many more and defines them instead of translating them. What's wrong with propitiation? That's a theological term that you can understand if you study what it means. What's wrong with redemption? Again, a theological term. What's wrong with atonement? What's wrong with reconciliation? What's wrong with justification? These are theological terms of doctrine that can be explained and should be explained by godly preachers and godly teachers and godly fathers and mothers teaching their children. And these can be explained. We don't take it and change the words. We do not do that. We must use these terms that God uses in His Word. It's the place of the pastor, as I said, the teacher, the mother, the father, to teach the meaning of these theological terms. These are important terms. We must continue to use them and to explain them to those who don't understand them. The space scientists, for example, don't describe their technical terms of apogee, which means away from the earth, or perigee, which means close to the earth, to describe the spaceship and the orbits. They don't discard apogee and perigee. The same is true in the medical profession. They talk about a metastasis, a change of place, of a cancer. They use these terms and explain them so people who don't understand will understand them. And they don't change their vocabulary, and they have huge words. Huge words. And they don't change them so people will understand. They define them and explain them. So with Bible doctrines. That's up to people that know what they mean to tell others that don't know what they mean. They should be explained, not discarded. Not discarded. Well, Fuzzy Pat number 183 out of 265, Robert Milliman wrote this, quote, First, all Bible believers should hesitate to be overly dogmatic about the merits of any one translation theory, as if either formal equivalence or dynamic equivalence was inherently the better theory. End of quote. Page 143, of which Bible, or one Bible only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? I don't agree. I am overly dogmatic, to use his term, in favor of the translation technique used by our King James Bible. I'm also overly dogmatic against the dynamic equivalency that he favors, such as found to a greater or lesser degree in the New King James Version. I found over 2,000 places of dynamic equivalency in the New King James. This is available in book form if you're interested. We have it. 2,000 plus places. A greater or lesser degree in the New American Standard Version. I found over 4,000 plus places of dynamic equivalency. This also is in book form. You can order it and get it and read it and study it. 4,000 plus places in the New American Standard Version. Dynamic equivalency, which is wrong. And also the New International Version. 6,653 plus places. I stopped counting after so long. In the New International Version. And this is also in book form. It can be found, it can be read, it can be studied. I can show you what I mean. I researched from Genesis through Revelation in each of these three versions. And we must be dogmatic in what we believe, or else we should stop believing it. And I believe that dynamic equivalency is trash. It's not translation, it's paraphrase, and it is interpretation. It does three things, as we've said many times in the broadcast. Dynamic equivalency, which is boasted about by the New International Version especially, either adds to God's words, the Hebrew or the Greek words, and God says that's sin to add to His words. Or it subtracts and it just completely wipes out and subtracts God's words, Hebrew and Greek words, which God says is sin to subtract and to leave out any of the words. Or number three, it changes God's words in some other way, and God says that's sin as well. You're to translate, carry across Hebrew to English, Greek to English, or any other language you're translating. And that's what we believe is right. Translate the words, verbal equivalents, and the forms of the words. And we can be overly dogmatic. We can be dogmatic to the hilt. And we can stand for the translation technique used by our King James Bible. And we can be dogmatic against the folly of dynamic equivalency. That's what we must do. We must stand firm for truth. Why does Robert Milliman say we shouldn't be overly dogmatic about the merits of any one translation theory? My friend, the theory is a fact of theology. The theory is not a theory, it's a fact of theology. God illustrates this in Galatians 3:16, for instance. Paul says, "Christ is of many, but unto thy seed which is one, which is Christ. These singulars and the plurals make a difference, and this is part of God's holy word. And it's not a question of wishy-washiness and not being overly dogmatic about the merits of one translation theory. You don't leave things up into the air, you nail them down. And Robert Milliman wants to leave us hanging, and he wants to say, well, either one is all right, no problem. I disagree completely. Well, fuzzy fact number 184 out of 265. Again, Robert Milliman wrote this, quote, "The New American Standard Version, 1960 to 1971, like the ISV, was a revision of the ASV, American Standard Version. The New American Standard Version is a literal translation produced by evangelical translators. Like the Revised Standard Version, it is not nearly as literalistic as the American Standard Version. Unlike the Revised Standard Version, it is free of renditions that are offensive to evangelicals and fundamentalists." End of quote. Page 144, One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? My friend, the New American Standard Version is not a literal translation. You see, Robert Milliman gums up these terms, literal translation. And when he says the New American Standard, oh, it may be more literal than something else, than the NIV. But if it were literal, it would translate the words of God literally. All of the words, without omission or addition. It would not use dynamic equivalency. If it were literal, how could I find over 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalency in the New American Standard Version, 1960-1971, if it were literal? Now, this is false and erroneous propaganda. You can see my 4,000 examples and the analysis of this in printed form, if you wish. I think it's BFT number 1494. BFT number 1494. You can look at it on the internet, if you wish, and you can order. It's available. And to have this man use kind of like literal condition for the New American Standard Version, and he pokes around about the Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, Robert Milliman doesn't even know what the definition of literal translation is, as we've seen before. And we're against his remarks concerning it because he does not know whereof he speaks. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, and get your free and postpaid $12 value Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Verses. That's what we've been talking about on the broadcast these past months, and continue to talk about it. Get it free and postpaid, 104 pages, yours for the asking. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, we're going to continue, my friend, next week and talk about these things of the fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists, Central Baptist Seminary, but also Bob Jones University agrees with these fuzzy facts and other schools as well. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for the Day of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 790, 790 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its eighth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, might I ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. Why not order yours today for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible? And then have you ordered yet your free and postpaid book, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions? You see, just because a person's a fundamentalist in other doctrines doesn't mean he's fundamental on the idea of Bible versions. We have some fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on these Bible versions. This is a refutation of one Bible only published by the Central Baptist Seminary. But remember, we've talked about the big four schools that are fundamentalists, but they're fuzzy on their facts about Bible versions. Bob Jones University leads the pack in fuzziness about Bible versions. Detroit Baptist Seminary comes right along behind. Central Baptist Seminary next, and Calvary Baptist Seminary. Those big four, the quartet, many other seminaries and colleges and universities that are fundamentalists and are off on fundamental facts on Bible versions. But these are the big four, and Central Baptist has got this book, One Bible Only. We've refuted it. We want to give you this book, 108 pages, I guess it is, free and postpaid, $12 value, $8 plus $4 shipping, free and postpaid for the asking. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's easy to remember. And ask for your copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists, we've been talking about on the broadcast. All right, let's go into fuzzy fact number 185 out of 265. Robert Milliman again wrote this, quote, "A more recent attempt at paraphrase is The Message by Eugene H. Peterson. This is an ongoing work that began in 1993. Like the Living Version, The Message is a rewording of the original Hebrew and Greek." End of quote. Page 146 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this? Why do we need to reword the Bible? Milliman has a chart with formal equivalents on the left, paraphrase on the right, and dynamic equivalents in the middle. Then he lists the definitions of some of the versions and puts them on that continuum from formal equivalence to paraphrase. The Interlinear Bible is under formal equivalence on the left. Now that's a word-for-word translation in a word order. That's horrendous. That's not literal. That's word-for-word, the same order of the words. Over to the right a little, he lists the King James Version, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New King James Version, and the New Revised Standard Version. Over more toward the dynamic equivalents, he has the New International Version and the New International Reader's Version. Over to the right toward the paraphrase is the Today's English Version, Contemporary English Version, New Century Version, and the New NLT, whatever that stands for. And under paraphrase is the Living Version and the Message. Now, I dispute his allegation and charge that the New American Standard is more literal than the King James Bible. That's so far from the truth, it's strange indeed. But sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. This is fiction, and it's very strange indeed. We've said before in the other broadcast, the New American Standard Version, I found in my research from Genesis to Revelation, I listened to every single word. My eyes saw every single word of the New American Standard Version, that original one that came out 1960 and following. And I found over 4,000 examples of adding to the words of God, subtracting from the words of God, or changing the words of God in some other way. That's not literal, and that's not more literal than our King James Bible. Our King James Bible translators had it right in these 4,000 cases, and the New American Standard Version had it wrong. Well, so much for that continuum from paraphrase to formal literal translation. Well, fuzzy fact number 186 out of 265, Robert Milliman wrote this: to the extent that it clarifies the biblical author's intended meaning, notice, gender-inclusive language is a worthwhile goal. For example, the Greek word anthropos, in virtually all situations, stands for humanity, not members of the male sex. End of quote, page 147, on One Bible Only. Did you get that? He thinks a gender-inclusive language is a worthwhile goal, if it clarifies the biblical author's intended meaning. What's my answer? Well, it's not a worthwhile goal at all. It's dynamic equivalency. It's not translation. That's interpretation, and shouldn't be a part of translation. When the scripture talks about brethren, it should not be changed to brothers and sisters. That's what the gender-inclusive language translations do. They do that in the gender-inclusive translation of the New International Version. It was initially withdrawn, as you remember, in the United States. It remains in print in England, and it went back and has now come out in the today's New International Version, TNIV. And if the Bible does not say mothers and fathers, we can't translate mothers and fathers. That belongs to interpretation, not translation. You can't say that you're carrying across what's in the Hebrew, or in the Greek in this case, and call it translation. Translatus. You can't do it. It's interpretation, it's dynamic equivalency, and it's not translation at all. It's paraphrase. Well, fuzzy fact number 187 out of 265, Robert Milliman wrote again, quote, for increasing numbers of people today, the need for relevant vocabulary and current idiomatic expression will dictate the use of one of the modern translations. Few Americans realize that when John suffered Jesus, Matthew 3:15, he actually agreed with Jesus. Even fewer probably knows that to fetch a compass, Acts 28:13, means to set sail. End of quote, page 148 of One Bible Only. Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact? First of all, suffer in Matthew 3:15 does not mean agree with, but it means to allow. That's the first thing. The fuzzy fact is fuzzy and not fact. Secondly, to fetch a compass does not mean to set sail. It means to circle around. Now, Robert Milliman should at least get his understanding of English correct before he spouts out this line in a book, in a chapter, as he writes it. This is a fuzziest of all facts, inaccuracy. Now, that's why we encourage you to get a defined King James Bible. When you come up to suffer, you'll have a footnote to give you the meaning of that. This is an uncommon word that's changed its meaning somewhat in the English language. It's uncommon to us. And so we have it in a footnote, accurately. When you come up to fetch a compass, in Acts 28:13, you'll find a footnote. What does it mean? And it's accurately given. It's not like the Nelson Study Bible that sometimes gives accurate meaning, sometimes doesn't. Our defined King James Bible, published by a Bible for Today ministry, gives accurate translation and meaning of what that English word is. It gives you a definition accurately in the footnotes. Well, instead of throwing away, as we said before, the King James Bible, you should get a defined King James Bible so that uncommon words can be accurately understood in the footnotes. Don't go to the error-ridden modern dynamic equivalency versions. Don't go to those. Stick with your King James Bible. If you have trouble with uncommon words that have changed their meaning slightly from year to year, from 1611 to the present, get your defined King James Bible. You can get it by simply calling us, and we'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask us how to get this defined King James Bible. You can get a 12-point large print. You can get 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print. We're getting 3,000 more as we make the broadcast in the next couple of weeks. But right now, 42,000 in print and distributed worldwide. You got to get it. Don't get these modern error-ridden versions. Either the King James, rather the New King James. Don't get that one. With over 2,000 examples of dynamic equivalency. Don't buy this New American Standard Version, over 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalency. Don't buy the New International Version or today's New International Version, over 6,653 plus many thousands more dynamic equivalencies. You can't trust them. You can trust the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. And you can't trust these interpretations. Every one of the dynamic equivalencies that changes the words of God, either by adding or subtracting, or some other change. Every one of these in the NIV, New American Standard, New King James, cannot be necessarily relied upon. It's interpretation. It's not translation. And you can't trust these versions. You can depend upon the King James Bible. Well, fuzzy fact number 188 out of 265, Robert Milliman again wrote this, quote, "The modern translation that best suits the needs of the serious Bible student is probably the New American Standard Version, in particular the updated version. A serious drawback of the NASB, however, is the way in which virtually all publishers format the version." End of quote, page 149, One Bible Only. Did you get that? The translation that probably suits the best, the serious Bible students, probably the New American Standard Version, the updated version. Well, I made my analysis on the non-updated version, the original version. They've got to update everything. They've got to update because they've got to change. It's a continuous flux. Change for change's sake. Change to sell new Bibles. Change to sell new versions and for more money. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? As I said before, I used in my analysis of the 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalency, the original New American Standard Version. Now they've got an updated one. He says that's the one that suits serious Bible students. Well, the New Testament is still based on the false Westcott and Hort Greek text. B and Aleph, Nestle Island, or United Bible Society. It's not the Textus Receptus. It differs with the Textus Receptus. I found it over 5,604 places, as listed by Dr. Frederick Scrivener. And recently, Dr. Jack Mormon, our friend in London, England, has found over 8,000 places, some more minor than others, that the received text differs from the critical text of Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island edition. By the way, this study is available. Do you want to know the exact Greek words where there are differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible? Do you want to know all 8,000 of them? The Greek word and the translation, the Greek word and the translation in parallel columns? We have this available. It's available. You can get it. You can buy it from us. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. It seems to me that those people in the fundamentalist institutions that differ with us and that are for Westcott and Hort's false Greek text should have an analysis of the differences right before their very eyes. Now, some of these differences are more cogent than others and are more meaningful than others, are more serious than others, but they're still there. They're still differences. And to have the implication on the part of these fundamentalist institutions and teachers from these schools, like Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, to have some of these teachers from these institutions imply that there's very, very little difference between the two texts at all. My friend, 8,000 is not very, very little. And as I say, these have been objectified. These have been objectified in this book that we've reprinted from Dr. Jack Mormon, London, England, 8,000 differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus. You ought to get it. Now, as far as the New American Standard Version, that's the text that they use. Whether it's, they may have changed a few of them back to the Textus Receptus and the modern New American Standard Version, the updated one. But basically, you have the 4,000 examples. He says that's the one that suits serious Bible students with all these examples of dynamic equivalency, adding to the words of God, subtracting from the words of God, changing the words of God in some other way. As I said, still based on the false text of Receptus, 8,000 places, some more minor than others, they have a different basic text. It's not suited for proper accuracy in the things of God. It partakes in most of the 356 doctrinal errors that are found in this critical text of the New Testament. 356 doctrinal errors is what you're dealing with, though you may not know it. You're dealing with it when you use the New American Standard Version as a serious Bible student. You're dealing with the 356 errors, doctrinal errors, when you're using the New International Version. And when you're using the footnote edition of the New King James Version, if you look at those footnotes, practically all the changes of the 356 doctrinal errors are mentioned in the footnotes of the study edition of the New King James. You're dealing with this in the footnotes, at least, if not in the text of the New King James. My friends, we've got to be serious Bible students, and the serious Bible student will use the King James English translation. That's what they will use. That's the only English version that accurately translates the proper Hebrew text and the proper Greek text. The only one. You can't make any other one that stands the test. The only one accurately representing the proper Hebrew and Greek text. That's why I stand for the King James Bible. That's why this broadcast stands for the King James Bible. That's why the Bible for Today Baptist Church stands for the King James Bible and defends it. That's why our Bible for Today ministry stands for the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. That's why our Dean Bergen Society stands for the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. The only accurate translation. And this is why our Bible for Today ministry has gone to the expense and the thousands and tens of thousands of dollars of expense to put out and to edit and to publish the defined King James Bible, whereby uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. That's why we got this thing out, because it's the only accurate translation. And if some of the words are uncommon to you, I understand all of them practically myself. I've been dealing with the King James Bible ever since I've been saved in 1944. That's a few years ago. And this Bible, the King James Bible, the defined King James Bible, is what you should get if you don't understand some of those terms, like fetch a compass, or like suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. That means allow them, permit them. This is all in the defined King James Bible. Don't change the translation. Don't rely upon these horrendously false modern versions. Rely upon the King James Bible. And if you don't understand it, get one of our defined King James Bibles. If you can't afford a genuine leather one, get a hardback edition, large or medium. And you can order these on the internet. All you have to do is click on BibleForToday.org and go for the defined King James Bibles. They're all there. You can order them. Well, enough of my preaching on our stand for the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek text. Fuzzy fact number 189 out of 265. Robert Milliman wrote this. Quote, if a literal translation were the version of choice for serious study, the choice for evangelism and initial instruction in the Bible would probably be a dynamic equivalent translation. End of quote, page 149 of One Bible Only. Did you understand what he said? He says the choice for serious study. He said that's the literal. But the choice for evangelism, the choice for initial instruction in the Bible, would probably be dynamic equivalent translation. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I don't agree at all. In my judgment, the choice for all areas of concern, whether evangelism, initial instruction, serious Bible study, in all areas, is the only accurate English translation alive and well in planet Earth, the King James Bible. I repeat, If you don't understand some of the words, get a defined King James Bible, published by our Bible for Today Press. You can write us at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Or you can call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get this. In this Bible, the defined King James Bible, uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Dynamic equivalent versions are not the way to go. Robert Milliman is leading people astray for evangelism, for initial instruction in the Bible. Stick to the King James Bible, not these modern versions. Well, Fuzzy Fact number 190 out of 265, Robert Milliman wrote this, quote, "Does such a thing as an all-purpose Bible exist? Probably not. The New International Version might provide the best balance between the literal and dynamic equivalent translation methods, leaning a little closer to the latter." That is dynamic equivalent. A little closer, end of quote, page 150. How horrendous. What's my answer? The New International Version is almost complete and total paraphrase. Complete and total dynamic equivalency. Over 6,653 items of dynamic equivalency, adding, subtracting, or changing the words of God. And I stopped counting. 2 years and 8 months later, my computer was filling up. I didn't want to give my whole life to the NIV. Not that I studied every hour of the day, but certain portion of time every day, 2 years and 8 months. And I stopped counting at 6,653. I just have some of the major ones. Thousands and thousands more. And he says that the all-purpose Bible would be the NIV. He says the best balance between literal and dynamic equivalent translation methods. Leaning a little closer to the latter. My friend, it is totally dynamic equivalent. Very seldom is it the other way. It's a terrible thing. The NIV is almost complete and total paraphrase. I have many hundreds more that are listed here, but adding, subtracting, and changing the words of God. It's not literal at all. It's defective by any standard of measurement. And it's horrendous to push the NIV in the faces of those people reading this book, One Bible Only. I heard from Singapore recently, and I understand that in Singapore, some of the Christians are being very much dissuaded, very much undermined by this terrible book, One Bible Only. That's the one we've been answering here. And as I read these things, and one of our friends there, Dr. Jeffrey Koo in Singapore, he's the dean of the seminary and the college, the Far Eastern Bible College and Seminary, and he is answering this. He's writing an answer, just as we have answered. I've answered this in Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists, this horrendous book, One Bible Only. But it's being an international problem. I sent a couple copies of this Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists to Dr. Koo and Dr. Toe. He gave a copy to Dr. Timothy Toe, his pastor. And this is important to answer these horrendous facts that are fuzzy. And this certainly is one of the greatest, saying that this is a balance. The NIV is a balance between literal and dynamic equivalent. Well, Fuzzy Fact number 191 out of 265, Robert Milliman again wrote this, quote, "What a wealth lies before us. The English reader has available many Bibles that accurately present the Word of God and at the same time fulfill the need for a variety of uses," end of quote, page 150 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this? Well, the best balance of literary and literal is the King James Bible. We don't have, quote, many Bibles that accurately present the Word of God. We don't have them. He's dead wrong in this. He doesn't represent the words of God at the same time. The Word of God, which he means the message of God, accurately present the message, the Word. That's what he means, not the words of God. The King James Bible is it. That's the wealth that we need. That's the wealth that we need to study. That's the wealth that every English-speaking person needs to have in his possession and use and memorize and understand the accuracy of our King James Bible. That's why we're interested in getting people both to use, to memorize, and to live by the King James Bible. There's no other Bible in its class or in its place. We stand by it. and we want everybody else to stand by it as well. All of these things that Robert Milliman says, trying to say there's a big wealth of the many Bibles that accurately present the Word of God. There are not many Bibles that accurately present the Word of God, if he means the words of God. The Hebrew words translated into English, the Greek words translated into English, the only accurate presentation of these words of Hebrew and the words of God in English is the King James Bible. That's the only one. There's no other one. Well, friends, in fact, number 192, we might begin this. I'm not sure how far we'll get, but here's a new author of this one Bible only, Kevin Bowder. We've heard from him before. He writes again, quote, "Orthodox Christians affirm that God has preserved his word. They acknowledge this. God has accomplished this preservation. They acknowledge that God has accomplished this preservation through providential means. They recognize in the traditional Greek and Hebrew texts a substantial preservation of the words of the original documents. What they do not affirm, however, is that any one manuscript group, or any single printed text preserves all of the words and only the words of the autographs or the autographa. Such a specific affirmation clearly lies outside of the teaching of Scripture." Page 155 of One Bible Only. Well, Kevin Bowder does not believe that all the words have been preserved. I believe that God has promised to preserve his words. I believe he has fulfilled that promise. They're preserved in the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible and the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies the King James Bible. And Kevin Bowder and Central Seminary do not agree and believe that particular stand. And yet he says he acknowledges the preservation of his word, not his words. Notice his word, meaning message, ideas, thoughts, but not words. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and should go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, and also the free and postpaid Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, $12 value, 108 pages. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We're going to continue this, my friends, next broadcast. This one Bible only has to be answered. These are fuzzy facts that we want to bring to your attention in this horrendous book. It's a book that's gathering momentum. It has to be answered. The King James Bible and its texts are very important to us, and they should be to you. We're going to continue. See you next week. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 791. 791 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. We might ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. And have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, Over 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not ask for your copy and for your friends the Defined King James Bible? And also, don't forget also to ask for this book we're offering free and postpaid, 104 pages, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's a refutation of one Bible only. Beautiful red and white cover. 104 pages, $12 value, as I say. It talks about the fuzzy facts we've been talking about on this broadcast for various months, and we're going to continue maybe for another month or so. You ought to get it, free and postpaid. Call us at 1-800-CHON-10-9. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 193 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again writes this, quote, either they may specify a priori and without biblical evidence a single manuscript or edition of the Bible in which the exact words are preserved, or they may begin to qualify their insistence upon exact preservation. End of quote, page 155 of One Bible Only, published by the Central Baptist Seminary. Well, they're talking about those of us who stand for the King James Bible and the traditional Hebrew and Greek texts. What's my answer to this? Well, I believe the exact words are preserved in the Masoretic traditional Old Testament Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible, and in the Texas Receptus Greek New Testament text, which underlies our King James Bible. Bowder doesn't have any idea where the words are preserved. He doesn't believe they're preserved anywhere, in any place. What a terrible position and theology and doctrine for a so-called fundamentalist. And he claims he's a fundamentalist. And yet he went to Dallas Theological Seminary, same as I did, and I don't know, it seems like some of the teachings that they taught them there with Dan Wallace and his battle of the preservation of the words of God have rubbed off on Kevin Bowder. And so he doesn't think that the exact words are preserved anywhere, any place. And he doesn't want us to have any confidence either that the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text underlying our King James Bible is the Hebrew text we should go with. And he doesn't want to have any confidence that we have that the Texas Receptus Greek text underlying the King James Bible is the text that we should believe is word perfect, exact words. I believe those Greek and Hebrew texts are exact words that have been preserved. The Lord Jesus promised them to be preserved. I believe he's done so. And this is after, well, since 1971, I've been studying this and reading on this and debating on this, and this is my conviction. Well, fuzzy fact number 194. Kevin Bowder again wrote this, quote, some of them, talking about us, some of them choose the former alternative, a particular printed Greek or Hebrew text, or else a particular edition of the King James Version. End of quote, page 156 of One Bible Only. Well, I don't believe that the King James Bible has the words of Hebrew and Greek, because it's not written in Hebrew or Greek. It's written in English. So this is a rather strange position. I believe by faith and by fact as well, and he argues against the faith position. God has promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. I believe God keeps his promises. Therefore, he's done so. He's kept his promise to preserve his words in the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible. And so this is my conviction. I don't understand his position at all. I certainly differ with him. Fuzzy fact number 195 out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, not having the preserved words is, after all, rather similar to having them, but not knowing where they are. A special problem is created for those who try to make the King James Version into the measure by which the Greek and Hebrew texts are to be judged, end of quote. Page 156 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this? Well, I believe that's Ruckmanism. That's following Peter Ruckman. I don't make the King James Version the measure. We make the Hebrew and Greek text underlying the King James Bible the measure. He says the only way that the King James can sit in judgment over the Greek and Hebrew is if a second act of inspiration occurred in some particular edition of that translation. This is what Kevin Bowder has said. Well, that's Ruckmanism. Peter Ruckman believes that there was a second work of inspiration, which I do not believe. I believe in the inspiration and God's breathing out of the Hebrew and Greek words. I believe God has preserved those inspired or God-breathed words in the texts which underlie our King James Bible. He does not differentiate. That is, Kevin Bauer doesn't differentiate between my position and that of Dr. Peter Ruckman. Now, as far as making the King James Bible the test by which the Greek and Hebrew texts are to be judged, let me simply say this. Since the King James Bible is the only accurate English translation of the proper Hebrew and Greek words, the King James Bible is a very good indication as to whether or not the proper Greek words are used and the proper Hebrew words have been used. What do I mean by that? Well, if you want to judge what the Greek text, the proper Greek text is, the King James Bible will give you the words translated into English that were in the Greek or the Hebrew originals. For example, if you take John 6:47, and you see that the King James Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And then you take up the New International Version, wording something like this, or the New American Standard Version, "Verily, truly I say to you, he who believes has everlasting life." Now they leave out "on me." And so the King James Bible is an indicator of what text has been used. The King James Bible reflects the Greek text underlying it. And it's obvious to anybody that has any brains at all, even a fifth grader or fourth grader or first grader. When you take off the words "on me" in the English translation, you know that the underlying Greek text is a different text than if you leave it off. Saying whoever believes has everlasting life is different than whosoever believeth on me hath everlasting life. And so, in some measure, the King James Bible is a measure of the text underlying it. And the same is true of Mark 16:9-20, the last 12 verses of Mark. There's no contradiction in these verses in the King James Bible. There's no need to question it. There's no footnote saying that it's not appearing in this text or that text. It has it. The same is true of Philippians 4:13. You can use your King James Bible to discover that the text underlying it is proper and that the text underlying the New American Standard, the NIV, is improper. The Lord Jesus is mentioned there in Philippians 4:13. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And the NIV and the NESV say something like this: "I can do all things through the one strengthening me," or "through him that strengthens me." Now, where is Christ in Philippians 4:13? Where is that Greek word Christos? It's gone. It's gone because the text underlying these false versions do not have it. And this is another reason why we can use the King James Bible to see what should be and what should not be in the Greek New Testament text underlying it. Now, we don't make the King James Bible the Greek or Hebrew text, but we do say that in some measure, there is a measure of the proper text underlying it. And so, there's a means and a way by detecting proper text and improper text. For instance, in a day or so, as this broadcast is being made and taped, there's going to be a Russian lady that's coming to our house, our church, and she and Mrs. Wade and I are going to be discussing some things about the scripture. She's going to bring a Russian Bible. And she says sometimes the Russian Bible differs from our King James Bible in certain ways. We're going to see, how does it differ? We're going to check and see certain passages, such as John 6:47, as we mentioned before, are the words "on me" in the Russian Bible. We're going to check Philippians 4:13. Is Christ in there? "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me," and so on. There are going to be some key verses we're going to look at to see if they have been changed. We're going to look at Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if "of Christ" is there, we're going to see that is the proper basis. But if it's just "I believe in the gospel" without "of Christ," which is the case of the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, we can see that they have the wrong Greek text. They have the Westcott and Hort false Greek text, Nestle Island, United Bible Society text, and that's an improper text. It's a false text. And if we have of Christ in Romans 1:16, as our King James Bible accurately renders and translates the Greek word of Christ, then we know that that's a proper Greek text underlying the translation. So in one measure, in one sense, the King James Bible is a measure of the text that's underlying. But it's not the same as the Greek or Hebrew text, and it's not God-breathed, but it is excellent and accurate translation of the God-breathed Hebrew words and the God-breathed Greek words. You say, well, how could God breathe the words in Greek and Hebrew? I thought the copies were simply copies. Yes, but if they're copies of the exact God-breathed words that were given in the very original case, if they're the same words, they're God-breathed words, inspired words, the Hebrew and Greek words. And so this is how we understand that. Let's move on to fuzzy fact number 196. Again, Kevin Bader of Central Seminary wrote this. Quote, on one hand, the possession of the Word of God demands possession of the very words of God. Then those very words must be preserved somewhere exactly, or else the Word of God has been lost. On the other hand, most King James only advocates are forced to admit that God's people can actually make do with only some of God's words. End of quote, page 157. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, the only words of God are the very words of God. He's distorting things. Kevin Bader is distorting things by his equating the Word of God and the words of God. Now, when he says the possession of the Word of God demands possession of the very words of God, by his term, Word of God, he means just the message. That's not the words of God. He means just the thoughts. That's not the words of God. The concepts. That's not the words of God. Or the ideas. That's not the words of God. When he says Word of God, he just means message, thoughts, concepts, or ideas. He does not want to believe that God promised to preserve his words and that he did preserve his words. He doesn't know where the words of God are. He just talks about the Word of God, meaning the message. Well, the message is not enough. God's words are important, every single one. Hebrew words, Old Testament, Greek words, New Testament. Well, that's fuzzy fact number 197 out of 265. Kevin Bader again wrote this. People who use a Ben Asher Hebrew text, a Nestle Island Greek text, or a New American Standard Version insist that they too have most of the words of the original scriptures. That is, most of the words of God. The proportion of words that are open to question is slight. The disputed passages are relatively insignificant. In any case, all of the various options support true doctrine. End of quote, page 157. Nothing could be further from the truth. They have most of the words of the original scriptures. I've said on the broadcast recently, we have a godly man, a missionary in London, England. And he has written, his name is Dr. Jack Mormon. Dr. Jack Mormon has written for us at least 6 different books, tremendous books, that we've published here at the Bible for Today ministry. The last book that he wrote is a comparison, 500 plus pages of a comparison between the critical text of Nestle Island, that's what he's talking, Kevin Bader is talking about here, and the Textus Receptus of Dr. Scrivener that underlies our King James Bible. He came up with 8,000 differences. He says they've got most of the words of the original scriptures, most of the words of God. The proportion of words that are open to question is slight. Well, my friend, 8,000 is not slight. Now, I agree that some of the words that are different are smaller or minor in import, but 8,000 differences certainly is not slight. If you went to your bank account and you were trying to balance your bank account and you got to the place where you had 8,000 discrepancies, wouldn't you think that you had a very bad balance? Well, if you don't think you had a bad balance, something's wrong with your upper story. My friend, you have to have understanding that that's a bad balance if you have 8,000 discrepancies in the bank account that you have. That's a horrendous difference. And so the New Testament Greek text. If you're interested in seeing these 8,000 discrepancies, 8,000 differences between the critical text underlying his New American Standard Version and underlying his New International Version and the other perversions of our day, the false versions, if you want to see this 8,000 differences between the false Greek text and the true Greek text, this is available. Number 3084 is what the number is. BFT number 3084. And we'll tell you how to get it. We want you to see it. We don't want to just simply talk into the air and say we think they're 8,000, but where are they? We have it. There are 535 pages in this book. 8,000 differences between the text versus the New Testament Greek text. My friends, this is number 3084. And if you want to see it, here it is. He starts right in with Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. The spelling of the son of David is different. This Matthew 1, verse 5. Boaz of Rahab, the spelling of the names there. If you want to get into a doctrine, he says that there's no difference in doctrine. If you go into Matthew 1, 25, for example, she brought forth her son. That's what the Scrivener text, as far as the text is, I've had her firstborn son, and the firstborn is gone, as far as that's concerned, in 125. Tetrakon is missing in Messianic 26 and 27th editions. Now that's a doctrine, but for the firstborn or not. And it says when Herod the king, and the differences in the order of when King Herod and so on. And so that's in Matthew 2, verse 3. But all these different things, Matthew 2, 21, Matthew 2, 22, 2, 22 again, 2, 23, Matthew 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 4, 3, 6, 3, 8, 3, 10. All these differences, either of word order or of missing words and so on, these are there. 8,000 of these things that are there. And so this is a tremendously scholarly work. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of preparation. The Greek text is there, the English translation is there, and the Messianic Greek text is there, and the translation in the English, so that you can see it and see the differences. And to see the difference, as I say, it may be slight, it may be small, there may be spellings, but now he says this, and this is another thing that's false in Kevin Bowder's statement here. He says that in any case, all the various options support true doctrine. All the various options. My friend, that's absolutely false. They do not all support true doctrine. Kevin Bowder does not know where he speaks in this area. He should quit writing about something he doesn't know anything about. There are over 356 areas of doctrinal error in these new versions in the New Testament alone. Now, again, Dr. Jack Mormon, our tremendous scholar in these areas, has come up with a book. We have it. It's available. I just gave it to one of my fellow teachers at the Bible Baptist Institute last night as this broadcast is being made. And he asked about, what about the New International Version? What's the difference, doctrinal differences between that and our King James Bible? So I gave him this as a gift, a fellow teacher, 100 large pages. 100 large pages. It's available if you're interested in it. But that book by Dr. Jack Mormon lists 356 doctrinal passages where the NIV and its false Greek text differs from the King James Bible and its Textus Receptus true Greek text. And these are doctrines. Now, some of them are more major than others. But every one of the 356 passages have doctrinal import regarding them. And the NIV's Greek text and the New International Version itself is in doctrinal error in all 356 of these passages. And the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus is in doctrinal orthodoxy and purity in every one of these 356 doctrinal areas. To say that in any case all the various options support true doctrine is absolutely false. In my book, Defending the King James Bible, some of you perhaps listening to us have that book. defending the King James Bible. If you don't and you want it, simply give us a call. We'll tell you how to get it. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's easy to remember. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And in chapter 5 of that book, Defending the King James Bible, I list 158 of these 356 doctrinal passages, where the Hebrew text, the Nicolaitan text, the New American Standard Bible are in error. These are certainly serious and are not true doctrine, as he believes and as he asserts and as he has written. And so this is a certain problem that Kevin Bader has with truth. It's absolutely false to say nothing that has to do with true doctrine. I've said before, today in the broadcast, and you've heard me, in John 6:47, is it true doctrine to say he who believes has everlasting life? No, it's he who believeth on me, the Lord Jesus said, hath everlasting life. And you take out on me, you have false doctrine. It's not simply believing just anything to be saved and have eternal life. Is it true doctrine to say simply I can do all things through the one that strengthens me and leave out Christ through Christ which strengtheneth me? It's false doctrine to leave out the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it true doctrine to say in Romans 1:16, as we mentioned earlier, I can do all things through the gospel? No. I'm not ashamed, rather, of the gospel. No, it's false doctrine. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's important. And if you take out the Lord Jesus Christ out of Romans 1:16, you have false doctrine. Many instances we've given in these areas, and false doctrine is there in because of the false Greek text underlying his New American Standard Version that he loves. Kevin Bader loves the New American Standard Version. He says he uses it. His wife uses some other version. I think it's the New International Version and so on. He says this in this tape in regard to the kickoff rally of the book From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man. So Kevin Bader, no, it's not him, it's another person. I got that mixed up. It's the other man that's at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, that had the kickoff rally. Kevin Bader is in Central Seminary, but he, I believe, still prefers the New at Nestle Island Greek text. Nothing about his wife, that was the other man, I'm mistaken. But Kevin Bader does prefer, I'm sure, the New American Standard Version, or maybe even the New International Version. And certainly, these versions that he prefers, not the King James Bible, have doctrinal errors, and in fact, 356 of them, to be exact. That's fuzzy fact number 198 out of 265. Kevin Bader again. He wrote this, quote, "They would have to admit that the whole debate is merely an academic quibble over the percentage of acceptable variation. They might prefer the Textus Receptus over the Greek text of Westcott and Hort, but they would have to admit that their preference was based on a difference of degree, not a difference of kind." End of quote. What's my answer to that fuzzy fact? It is a difference of kind, not simply degree. The Westcott and Hort Greek text, which is manuscript B, the Vatican, and Aleph, the Sinai, which underlie these modern versions, which Kevin Bader loves, is loaded with Gnostic heresies. You wonder why all the differences in the Greek text? Why were there changes of doctrine, 356 places at least? Well, the reason is the Gnostics got a hold of some, not all. Praise God, they did not get a hold of all the Greek texts and manuscripts. But they got a hold of some. And when they got a hold of these, and I believe B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai that underlies the Westcott and Hort false Greek text, those two manuscripts bear traces of Gnosticism. The Gnostics got a hold of those two manuscripts, and they inserted their strange and false and perverse doctrines into their Greek text. They altered the traditional text. That's why we have 356 doctrinal errors in the Westcott and Hort text underlying the New American Standard and the NIV. It is not simply a difference of degrees. It's also a difference of kind. I found 5,604 places of differences between the text of Westcott and Hort and the text of Receptus. Dr. Jack Mormon has found, in more specific study, over 8,000 differences. I found 5,604 places, but you add up all the words and differences, he came up with 8,000 differences between the critical text of Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, and the text that underlies our King James Bible. And certainly, that's a lot of difference. It's kind as well as degree. And 8,000 certainly is a large degree. And so we have a battle on our hands. And the battle rages around what is our Greek text, what is our Hebrew text, and what sort of translation do we have. Now, King James Bible is superior to all because of at least four basic reasons. It has a superior Greek and Hebrew text that underlies it. It has superior translators that gave it to us. Number three, it has superior translation technique. Number four, it has superior theology and doctrine. Four superiorities of the King James Bible over all these others. That's why we hold to it. That's why we defend it. That's why we believe it's the only accurate English translation in the language of our people. And that's why we stand for it and preach from it and want you to believe it as well. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and should go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, and also the free and postpaid 104-page Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's yours for the asking. Just simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We're going to continue this next week. We hope you'll stay tuned with us. These fuzzy facts are not from modernists, not from Roman Catholics, not from New Evangelicals, but they are fuzzy facts from fundamentalists that are fuzzy and false in regard to bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. And we've got to raise these issues. We've got to oppose our fellow fundamentalists on the issue of the Bible because they're wrong. And we are right. And we believe it. We've written about it. We want to talk about it. See you next week. Same time, same broadcast. Till then. So long. We now present the Bible for Today Daily. Heard each weekday at the same time and over the same station. Sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to daily broadcast, rather weekly broadcast, it is, of 792. Weekly broadcast number 792, 792 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence, confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or you can email us, bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 356 pages, hardback edition. Why don't you ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible like it in the world. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point print, 10-point medium print, 12-point large print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. Why not order your copy today? The Defined King James Bible. And then have you ordered your fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions? We put all this material, most of it, in this book, 108 pages. It's a refutation of this terrible book, One Bible Only. Free and postpaid. $8 plus $4 shipping, $12 value. Free and postage paid for anyone who's writing to us or calling us. You can write to us, Bible for the Day, Collingswood, New Jersey. That's all the address you need. They know us here. We've been here for 37 years. Bible for the Day, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or simply call us on the order line, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. 108 pages and $12 value. All right, let's go to fuzzy fact number 199 out of 265. Again, Kevin Batter wrote this, quote, "The movement survives." He's talking about us, those of us who stand for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie. "The movement survives, but only by clouding the issues and distracting people from the main point. It protects itself with an elaborate structure of theological illusions." End of quote. Page 158 of One Bible Only. Clouding the issues. Do I sound, my friend, like I'm clouding some issue? Am I distracting people from the main point? Do I have theological illusions? I'm not clouding the issues. I'm speaking very, very plainly on the issues and answering these fuzzy facts. The facts are fuzzy, therefore they're not factual. What's my answer to this? It's absolutely false. We do not just have theological illusions. We have facts. I have facts. It does not cloud the issues when I say there are 356 doctrinal errors in Kevin Bowder's Westcott and Hort Greek text compared to our traditionally received text that has zero doctrinal errors. That's not clouding the issues. That's specifically giving the issues and the facts. The New International Version and the New American Standard Version that he follows have all these 356 doctrinal errors as well. He does not like the appeal to faith. He doesn't like that. Well, we have faith, but we have also facts. Our facts are the basis of our faith in some part, at least. Faith certainly is based upon fact, and fact is not on his side. Fact is on our side in this battle for our Bible. And so we're not dealing with clouding of issues. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 200 out of 265. Kevin Batter again wrote this. As this book has shown, he's talking about One Bible Only, the Bible contains no promise whatsoever that includes the preservation of all of the words of the autographs without addition or deletion in a single publicly accessible source. End of quote. Page 158 of One Bible Only. So, who's clouding the issues now? No promise whatsoever that includes the preservation of all the words of the autographs without addition or deletion. Well, it's absolutely false. That's the answer. It's absolutely false. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, are you listening to me? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, that's the promise to preserve the Lord Jesus' words. It's right there in his own words. Now, you going to believe Kevin Bowder, or you going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? The promise is that he says the Bible contains no promise whatsoever that includes the preservation of all the words of the autographs. The Lord Jesus said, my words shall not pass away. I believe the Lord Jesus is the author of the Old Testament words. He's the Logos. He's the Revelator. I believe he's the author of every word in the New Testament. His words. It says in John 16:12, 13, 14, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself or from himself as to source, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things of mine and reveal it and show it unto you. My friends, the Lord Jesus is the author of all the words of the New Testament, and by extension, the Old Testament as well. He's the person of the Godhead who originated the words that Moses wrote down, that David wrote down, and that Paul and Peter and John wrote down. When he says, "My words shall not pass away," he's talking about his words of Old Testament Hebrew, his words of New Testament Greek, a little Aramaic in the Old Testament, not much. Those are his words. And he says, "They shall not pass away." And for Kevin Bowder to say the Bible contains no promise whatsoever, that includes the preservation of all the words of the autographs, of the originals, in other words, he's just simply wrong. Is this not a promise? Is it not a promise when the Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away"? There's going to be one day the destruction of the heavens and the earth that now are, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord Jesus promised that it will pass away. But my words shall not pass away. That's the promise. The same as the Lord Jesus promised in Matthew 5 and verse 18, when he said, "Even the jot and the tittle shall not pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The jot, the smallest letter. The tittle, the smallest part of a Hebrew letter. And by extension, we can apply that to the New Testament as well. We believe that God has preserved these words in the Old Testament Masoretic text and in the New Testament text of Receptus Greek. As I said before, I've studied this subject since 1971. It's over 31 years as a book editor. This is my conclusion. He opposes an appeal to faith. But look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must have faith in God's words. He that believeth must have faith. Faith is necessary according to that promise. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that believeth must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we talked about this in our New Testament survey class in the Bible Baptist Institute in Philadelphia just last evening as this tape is being made. And the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an evidence. There's substance and evidence in faith, in the words and the promises of God. And God has promised to preserve his words, regardless of Kevin Bowder's falsity in this area. Well, fuzzy fact number 201 out of 265, Kevin Bowder again wrote this. The second illusion is the appeal to reason. The King James Bible only advocates, King James only advocates, insist that belief in the preciseness of verbal inspiration, which we all affirm, is useless unless it is followed by exactness and verbal preservation, which the authors of this book do not affirm. End of quote, page 158, on the one Bible only. What's my answer to this? Well, if God took the pains to verbally, word for word, inspire, breathe out his Hebrew and Greek words, I certainly believe that the corollary is logical and reasonable, that he will also preserve those words. Kevin Bowder doesn't believe that God is going to preserve those words, or has he preserved these words? This is the difference. He does not believe the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's fuzzy fact number 202 out of 265. Kevin Bowder wrote this. Even with regard to written words, it is demonstrably true that when someone's spoken words were later recorded in Scripture, the exact words spoken were not necessarily the very words that were used in Scripture. End of quote. Page 159 of one Bible only. And did you understand what he's saying there? What's my answer? And this is a denial of the Bible's verbal inerrancy. I'm not calling Kevin Bowder a heretic, but it is heresy to say, as far as doctrine, heresy to say that the written words are not the exact words later recorded in Scripture. This is saying that God the Holy Spirit has made some sort of an error. He doesn't believe that the exact words that Jesus spoke were recorded, but just the essence or message of Jesus' words. Now, to me, it's very surprising for a fundamentalist like Kevin Bowder to write this. Was he taught this at Dallas Seminary? Is this a position of Central Baptist Seminary? This is a doctrine believed and taught by cultists, modernists, liberals, heretics, and apostates. It's the same doctrine. Now, am I calling Kevin Bowder a cultist, a modernist, a liberal, a heretic, an apostate? He says that I call him that. Do I do that? No. He's a fundamentalist. But his doctrine of the Bible is a cultist doctrine, modernist doctrine, liberal doctrine, heretical doctrine, and apostate doctrine, as far as his belief of Bible preservation is concerned. Now, his Bible inerrancy, as far as inspiration is concerned, now that's allegedly the same as a fundamentalist that I would hold to, that God has preserved and given to us an inerrant scripture as far as the originals are concerned. But the Bible preservation is where his heretical doctrine and heretical beliefs come in. Now, as far as the inerrancy of scripture, he's even questioning that now when he said in this fuzzy fact number 202, when he says in scripture the exact words, someone's spoken words later recorded in scripture, the exact words spoken were not necessarily the very words that were used in scripture. My question is, why not? Why aren't they the natural, essentially the same? Who told him they were different? Why does he not believe this? Why doesn't Kevin Bowder believe that the words, when someone speaks them in scripture, later they're recorded, why does he believe that they're not the exact words? The very words used in scripture were not the same words that were spoken. Why does Kevin Bowder doubt when the Lord Jesus said in John 8:14, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Why does Kevin Bowder doubt that those are the very words that the Lord Jesus spoke? This is horrendous. Why does he doubt when the Lord Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins? Why doesn't he believe that those are the very words that Jesus spoke, recorded in Scripture? When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 14:6, why doesn't he believe that these are the very words that Jesus Christ spoke, as recorded in Scripture? This is a terrible, terrible denial of the Bible's verbal inerrancy. This is horrendous. Why does he not think, when the Lord Jesus spoke these various words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on, other words that he spoke, why doesn't he think that when the Lord Jesus' words are recorded in John chapter 3, verse 7, for example, verily I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Why does he not say those are the exact words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus? And why doesn't he say that Nicodemus' exact words are recorded? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Why does not Kevin Bowder, a fundamentalist, teaching at a fundamentalist seminary, Central Baptist Theological Seminary, believe that those words were the exact words of Nicodemus and the exact words of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in Scripture? Why does he say this? He says, it is demonstrably true. He hasn't demonstrated anything of that nature. Demonstrably true that when someone's spoken words were later recorded in Scripture, the exact words spoken were not necessarily the very words that were used in Scripture. My friend, do you see the heresy in this belief? Do you see the apostasy in this belief of Kevin Bowder? Now, I'm not calling Kevin Bauer an apostate. I'm saying that in this area, he is holding apostate heretical doctrine, apostate heretical beliefs. And there's a distinction. A fundamentalist can hold apostate beliefs in some areas and still be a fundamentalist in others. And this is where Kevin Baddock fits in. He's got a split personality. He's got fundamentalism in many of his areas of doctrine, and then he's got a modernist, liberal, cultist, apostate, heretical doctrine as far as the preservation of the words of Scripture. And I'm against this false doctrine of his. I'm against the false doctrine of other schools that have the same beliefs. I don't know whether Bob Jones University agrees with Kevin Bauer on this point. I don't know whether Detroit Baptist Seminary agrees. I don't know whether everybody in Central Baptist agrees. I don't know whether Calvary Baptist agrees with this point. Now, these four institutions, the Big Four Quartet, do agree in many areas. All four agree that God has never promised to preserve his words of Hebrew and his words of Greek, and therefore has not preserved them. They just simply say that God's preserved the Word of God, meaning the message and the thoughts and the ideas, but not the words. And this is a sad degree of doubt indeed, and a sad position to take contrary to the Word of God. Well, let's go on to fuzzy fact number 203. Kevin Bauer wrote this, quote, "God has not promised to preserve all of his spoken and written words in a publicly accessible form, nor has God always deemed public accessibility of his written revelation to be essential. In one case, the entire written revelation of God survived in a single manuscript that was hidden from public view, 2 Kings 22:8, 2 Chronicles 34:15, end of quote, page 159. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, the Westcott and Hort Greek text that he believes is correct was not accessible from 500 A.D. to 1881 A.D. The churches rejected the Westcott and Hort text. It wasn't publicly accessible. The churches rejected it, and in 1881, these two apostates, these two heretics, Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott, Professor Hort of the Church of England, they resurrected this false text of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, that the church had rejected. They exhumed it. They brought it up from the grave and put their stamp of authority upon it. But the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible, the traditional text, has always been in an accessible form from the history of the apostolic age to the present. These words have been carried down through the ages. The words that were inspired and breathed out and written in the first instance were given with a promise to preserve them. Verbal inspiration demands verbal preservation. You have to preserve it. That's what a will does. It preserves that which has been promised by the testator, by the one that makes the will. It's supposed to be followed. It's supposed to have witnesses. It's supposed to be kept in a safe place. And this is the scripture, the testament that God has given to us, Old Testament and New Testament. And to have God make a testament and give us his words and yet not preserve those words for us living today would not be reasonable of God. God is not illogical and unreasonable. And he did preserve those words that he gave us originally. And when the Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," he's implying that we have every word that God has given to us. And God has given us those words by inspiration, and he's kept those words by preservation. And we must have both these doctrines clear in our minds, inspiration and preservation. And there's a corollary there. Well, fuzzy fact number 204 out of 265, Kevin Bauer again wrote this. "Moreover, according to the actual manuscript evidence, the manuscripts that support the Textus Receptus are not in the majority even of Greek manuscripts until the 4th century or even later. If the theory that the majority rules is correct, then the next two questions are, majority of what? And majority from when? End of quote, page 160 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, it's absolutely false. Dean Burgon's book, which we have reproduced and reprinted, hardback edition, The Traditional Text of the Holy Gospels, he gives to us a documentation of 76 early church fathers who died 400 A.D. or before. Now, when Kevin Bowder says it's not in the majority before the fourth, until the 4th century, or even later, he's dead wrong. Here's people who died 400 A.D. or before, in the 4th century, in the 300s. 76 early church fathers. You can get it. You can see it. It's available, The Traditional Text by Dean John William Burgon. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get this book. But now, in this examination of 76 early church fathers and writers who died 400 A.D. or before, the traditional text, the Textus Receptus, was found in their writings in a ratio of 3-2. That's 60% to 40%. In other words, 60% of all these quotations of the early church fathers, 76 of them, the quotations or allusions are from the Textus Receptus. Only 40% are from the text followed by Kevin Bowder and Westcott and Hort. Now, you can't argue this. You can, but you can't successfully argue against it. Now, Dr. Jack Mormon has done a study on the early church fathers himself. And he found not 60%, but 70% of the church fathers' quotations or allusions were from the traditional text. Only 30% were from the Westcott and Hort text. Now, the traditional text or Textus Receptus was in a majority from the very beginning. And Kevin Bowder is in serious error when he says does not support the majority of documents and manuscripts. In fact, Dr. Jack Mormon has estimated from the different types of manuscripts whether they're papyri, whether they're uncials or capital letter manuscripts, whether they're minuscules or running hand cursives, or whether they're lectionaries. He estimates that over 99% of the manuscripts that are in existence today follow the received text type of manuscript and the Textus Receptus. Less than 1% follow Westcott and Hort. Yes, we do have majority. I would say 99% is a huge majority, not simply a little bit over 50%. Well, fuzzy fact number 205, about 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this. Quote, their carefully reworked history is filled with heretics who deliberately miscopied the scriptures, churches that rejected Alexandrian manuscripts, ecumenical councils that endorsed the Byzantine tradition, secret plots of Jesuits, Masons, Nazis, and Communists, and a variety of other irresponsible speculations, none of which can be shown to have happened. End of quote, page 160. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, Dean Burgon in The Causes of Corruption of the Traditional Text, that's a book we've reprinted again. The Dean Burgon Society has reprinted The Causes of Corruption. It's available, hardback edition. If you want to get a copy, we'll tell you how. Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Now, in this book, The Causes of Corruption of the Traditional Text has listed the heretics who have changed the words of God and who purposely have gospels of their own, like the Gospel of Basilides. When they couldn't have a gospel that agrees with the heretics' heretical doctrines, their Egyptian Gnostic heresies, they wrote their own. They corrupted the traditional text, the Textus Receptus. This is not speculation. This is fact. Kevin Bowder is denying there was corruption by heretics of the traditional text. This corruption is found in his Westcott and Hort text of B and Aleph, the Vatican and the Sinai, that underlies his New American Standard Version, the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, and others. And what he's saying is that none of these things happen. My friend, they have happened. These church fathers have, some of them, have changed, and some of the early writers, and some of the heretics have changed the scriptures to accommodate their own false doctrine. When they couldn't find in the scripture words to go along with their doctrine, they changed and altered the text. This is not speculation. This is fact, and Dean Burgon names 10 or 11 different groups that did this, and you must get it if you're interested in the causes of corruption. That time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man out of any should be saved, and should go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Don't forget to ask also for the Defined King James Bible and also the Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists, free and postpaid, 108 pages, $12 value. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Call us, the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we want you to listen next broadcast, same time, same station. We're going to continue this. We believe these fuzzy facts should be exposed and aired. We believe that these fuzzy facts can be answered. This book, The One Bible Only, has caused a stir among fundamentalists in our age and in our dispensational picture and in the area in which we live and in Singapore and around the world. We're going to continue to answer it until next broadcast, next week, same time, same station. See you then. So long until then.